relationships, religion, Chris Harrington's reality. This is the good news on Glenn Klein Online.
In store, love is the drug, and I need to score. Showing up, hit them run. Boy meets girl, where the beat goes on. Stitched up tight, can't shake me. Love is the drug, got a hook on me. Oh, catch that buzz. Love is the drug I'm thinking of.
You gotta love the Roxy music. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is hump day. No, it's not. I caught myself and I tricked you. It is Tuesday, October 16, 2012. The only October 16, 2012 in the history of humanity. So dramatic, so profound. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Chris Harrington's reality. Each week at this time, or actually usually on Wednesdays, you guys that are listening on the archive have no clue anyway. But at least once a week, we venture into the mind, the legend, Chris Harrington. I love that. And now from the home offices of the Intermediator in Nacogdoches, Texas, please say hello to Chris Harrington. That's awesome. I think we need to rehearse, Chris, that I didn't know that that was like one of your favorite movies or favorite themes when I picked
it
out.
Was.
Is right?
It was, yeah.
I had no idea.
It's still my favorite movie.
2001 A Space Odyssey is your favorite movie.
Yep.
Why?
Of all time.
Why?
It's like the transformation of the entire human race, all in one movie.
Because he likes hearing a robot sing Daisy.
That is an ailing Sean O'Halloran. Sean, that's the best your voice has sounded this evening. He manned up to get on the microphone.
I love that.
I mustered it up a little.
You really did. I was hoping you'd have that like sexy raspy thing that you had going on earlier. Sean, under the weather, but manning up tonight because... Tomorrow night, he couldn't. He's going to Universal, right? Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando tomorrow night. So that's why we did Tuesday night. And ironically and coincidentally, my future son-in-law, although hopefully it won't be by law if you catch my drift, Angel is also performing in Orlando tomorrow night at the Pioneer. And so that's why we're here on Tuesday. And thank you so much, Chris, for your flexibility.
All right, no problem.
Are you bringing the noise tonight, bro? Chris?
I was leaning on the floor again. I always lean on the floor for some reason.
Dude, that's dangerous territory for you.
I know. It's just a necessity I have.
No, but the last time that you did that while I was speaking, you fell asleep, dude. At the Houston Convention of the Gospel Revolution, you passed out during my message.
I find that so ironic because tonight I'm going to ask you to talk. I'm going to give you a 6 weeks test.
Yeah, it's been 6 weeks since we started this this excursion. So, by the way, Sean is capable of taking your guys' calls if you desire to call, if you're listening live on Tuesday night. You can call 1-800-436-3260. That is the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline all over North America. 1-800-436-3260. Worldwide, the direct line is 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. So, Chris, before we dive headfirst into my little six-week review here.
Sure.
Speaking of the Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams Ministry, Michael is headed north on Thursday to my old stomping grounds of Marshfield, Wisconsin.
That's what I hear.
With the Medicine Man, Pep Washburn, and the likes of Jan Heller and Sandra Johnson and Doug Meisner and Shane Wendorsky and Pep and a bunch of other folks.
It's going to be a hot meeting.
Yeah, I think so. It's going to be in Marshfield. You guys go to GospelRevolution.com or the Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution Facebook page. And Pep's got all the information there. Pep, one of my oldest and longest and dearest friends, who was in the craziness with us at the church there in Marshfield. And he and I basically were the only ones that escaped, Chris, that we know of.
I hear that.
So I know they're going to have a good time, and
it's going to be a journey to the center of America.
Indeed, and it's what they call it in Wisconsin, the city in the center, Marshfield, exactly in the center of the state. So if you guys are in Wisconsin or Michigan or Illinois or Iowa or Minnesota, we got people coming from North Dakota. Come on in and check it out. It's going to be a good time. I talked to Pep today, and he is very much looking forward to this weekend. And then he is headed to the Mecca of evangelical and charismatic Christianity, to Tulsa. To visit his daughter Jessica and her husband Aaron in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You ever been to Tulsa?
I have not been to Oklahoma City.
I have been to Tulsa. I've been to Oral Roberts University. I've been to Rhema. What else have I done? That's Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Yeah, I did all the Christian stops.
There you go.
I went to one of the strangest meetings ever with a guy who had contracted HIV in, like, the mid-'80s, mid to late 80s.
Oh, that was quick.
Yeah, actually, he contracted in the early 80s. I met him in the late 80s. And it's a long story. His name is Ed Rosar. He wrote a book called Laughing in the Face of AIDS, in which he dedicated to me. It's an amazing psychological human story and tragedy and just incredible stuff. But, Ed was a thoracic surgeon in Marshfield, and he passed away soon after that book came out. It's an incredible story of the insanity of Christianity and yet the love of humanity. It's amazing, Chris, that even in the midst of the insanity and mental illness known as organized religion and fundamentalist Christianity, which we deal with a lot, it's amazing how the love of God and the love of humanity comes through even in the midst of that kind of silliness.
Well, I think you have to be a little bit wacky just to be human in the first place. Sincerely.
What do you mean by, when you say human, what do you mean by human?
Human beings. I think that human beings, people, you know, us, not corporations, but people. I think we, besides just persons of record, human beings, blood and flesh, I think that we have the task of trying to make do with a little bit that we know and as far as our brains will stretch, dealing with the infinite complexity. And I think there's a tremendous need for grace because humans are wacky.
There's no doubt that is true. When you say grace, and there's people all over the planet listening, and they hear the word grace, what do you mean by grace?
What I mean by that is that there's a certain point at which our brains do not pull together everything that we need. We decide that we want to do things. We have will. We have a sense of ourselves. We have all these different predictions, we have perceptions, all this extremely incredible complexity. And with all that, we have this kind of moral sense of how the world should go. And even on our best day, we break our own rules all the time. And if you look at that in terms of a universal code, if, say, for example, the Bible were seen as a universal code, not one person ever will Jesus Christ. But no, you know, the average Joe on the street, Joanne, all of us have had the problem of, you know, we talk big, but we don't walk so straight. It's the problem with being human. And I think because of that, it's not just that we're cut some slack. That would be sort of relative thinking, you know, like God, please be finished with me. God is not, I mean, please be, what is it? Please be patient with me.
Right.
God is not finished with me yet.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
I always found that sort of a relative way of looking at things. Either you're in or you're not. You know?
Right. I thought that was completely fallacious, actually.
Yeah.
I mean,
really
because as far as God is concerned, this is the ironic and the dichotomy of knowing that you are finished.
Yeah.
And are perfect.
Yeah.
As far as God is concerned. And yet, clearly, we're not finished or perfect yet. It's an interesting juxtaposition, I would say.
Well, I think that we are perfect. I think we're perfect in the same way as that person that you love is perfect to you. You know what I'm saying? Except for the person that loves us is God. And so we're perfect to him. You know, we're bought and paid for. People always talk about, you know, I can accept or I can deny or I can this or I can that. But if you're bought like a slave, right? If you were for sale and you were owned by someone, if you're a piece of property, if you're chattel, then you don't really have a choice about
you
that.
You don't have a... In fact, God, I've been reading again, of course. I've only read it like seven times, Mike's book that you and I both had the privilege of editing. I just read today about that literally we were left out of the equation. We literally had no say. When I say we, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about the entire planet, past, present, and future. It's a big we. It's everybody. We were left out of the equation. It is not our performance. It is not our ability. It is not our faith. It is not our belief system. It's not our belief. It's not our religion. We were like the brides of the law in the Old Testament. The brides had no choice. It was just like, here's who you're marrying. You have
exactly.
no choice. You have no rights.
It's an arranged marriage.
It's an arranged marriage.
That's right.
Well, I'm glad to be a part of that marriage party. And it's been the greatest blessing of my life. Over the last 6 weeks, Chris Harrington has been a massive blessing in my life. And it's hard to believe that we've been doing this already for almost, well, a month and a half.
Yeah.
And apparently, being the teacher that you are, 30 years in that teaching, you're going to give me my first quarter grade, I got a feeling.
I'm going to give you your 6 weeks test. That's right.
Oh, it's a test.
6 weeks test, uh-huh.
Dude, I
have a series of questions. But, you know, I always give people the answers first. I think that's fair because... I could come up with any kind of question in the universe, and I wouldn't want to pull that on you, right?
Well, you could if you wanted. You could if you wanted to.
Yeah, I could if I wanted to. But, you know, it's like we were just talking about grace. I find it really interesting when people say that they have a free will, right? If I really had free will, I should have been given the option to opt out of being under condemnation in the first place. But I don't remember getting that note. Did you get a memo? Dear Chris, if you want to opt out of the condemnation thing, check this box. If you don't, if you want to be condemned, go ahead and stand in line and we'll be right with you. I didn't get that.
You know, this is one of the amazing things about this process. And you guys that have been listening understand that there is a difference of opinion between me and my inner mediator here. I believe we have free will. I believe we were given that letter. Within the scriptures and the manifest understanding, especially by Paul in the New Testament, I think that it was just we weren't given the information. And so, yeah, I do. This is incredible, you guys. Here is my life coach, Chris Harrington, and he is holding my feet to the fire like nobody ever has in my life, frankly. When I say that, I'm not saying that people haven't attempted to do it or that I haven't attempted to do it, but they have not, nor I have, relatively speaking, been effective. Chris is being effective. Here's a guy that doesn't believe in free will, I do. And yet he's the one holding me accountable for my actions, behaviors, attitudes, and efforts. What the hell is up with that?
Strange things are happening.
Human beings are strange creatures, no doubt about it. What did you say earlier? What are humans?
I think they're bizarre.
No, I
don't exactly know what I said. You got to catch me the first time.
I forgot that too. All right. So anyway, this is
off the test. I know
this is a now. I have to mention this as an aside because I'm very interested in your perspective on this. The best teacher I ever had was a guy named Bill Phillips. And Mr. Phillips was my history teacher for 2 years in high school.
Uh-huh.
Great teacher. Older guy when I had him. And for some reason, he liked me. But what Mr. Phillips did was that when he would teach his subject, history. I had two different history classes with him. And his perspective on taking tests, Chris, or giving tests,
sure,
was that just exactly what you said. He wanted to give the answers ahead of time. And once the test was given, what he would do was he would just rank the grades from top to bottom. In other words, the curve that he would have in his class wasn't 90 and above is an A, 80 and above is a B, etc., 70 is a C. What he would say is that there's natural breaks in the curve that you could see. And
sure,
that if he did an effective job teaching, you would see the in other words, if the highest grade in the class was a 72, then he would think, well, I haven't done a very good job teaching it. That became an A. So 72, 71, 70 would be an A. 69, 68, 63 would be a. I thought that was an incredibly fair way of grading. What say you?
I think that's pretty good. I have a slightly different perspective on that, right? What I want to do is make sure that everyone in the class makes an A. That is, that they master the subject. Let me give you just a short example, okay?
All right.
When you think of what a noun is, right, how would you define a noun? You remember taking that in school, right? What's a noun?
It's a subject.
It's the what?
It's a subject, a thing, a person, a subject.
Yeah, that sounds correct, doesn't it?
I thought, and even Sean kind of acknowledged that was accurate.
Yeah, most people would say it's a person, place, thing,
person,
or idea,
place,
right?
Thing. Person, place,
or thing. So let me ask you a question. I've got a photograph here. It's a photograph of my grandmother. I take out my trusty .357 Magnum and I shoot the picture right in the middle. Did the cops come get me for homicide?
No.
Why?
Because you're not shooting a person.
I didn't shoot a person, right?
Right.
So the reality is what I shot was a representation of the person. Therefore, no murder occurred, right? Just so, a noun is not the person. It's the name of the person. Make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So Glenn is a word, Glenn. So if I write the word Glenn down on a sheet of paper and I rip it in half, I didn't kill you, did I?
No. Although in my more fragile moments, that might have been fairly devastating, but...
I hear that. I use myself as an example, and that's why, because it doesn't bother me. It's only a word. So I find that kind of interesting. But I would like to give you a test on whether or not words are nouns, and I'll just tell you this one simple thing. If you can have two of them, right, if you can have it in the plural, then that word would be used as a noun. For example, a car. You can have two cars, right?
All right. I'll say yes to that.
Yes. So if two cars exist in the world, then you can say, yes, the word car can be used as a noun, okay?
Right.
So now, given that little bit of information right there, which is something that most teachers use about 4 to 6 weeks of school to teach and grind in their in the kids' heads and make sure they really know it. On the basis of that, I'd like to do 6 weeks' worth of work with you right now, and I'll give you a test, all right?
All right.
And on the test, I'm going to give you two gimmies where I repeat the information again, but on the other eight, you've got to have it all by yourself. That'll be 100% with two gimmies, okay?
All right.
So, any word that...
I didn't know this was a test. I thought this was a review.
Yeah, I'm just giving you an example
Because if this was college, I would have stayed up, you know, at least for one night.
No, you don't have to, because all you need is this one information.
I would have taken...
6 weeks worth of information.
I would have taken some no-dos. I would have been...
No, forget
coffee.
All that. You don't need to. Okay. So let me ask you a question. If car is a noun because you can have two cars, what about the word shoe? Is the word shoe a noun?
Yes.
How do you know?
Because you can have two of them.
You can have two of them, okay? Nose.
You. All right, so am I able to ask a question?
The word nose, is it a noun?
No, it's not a noun.
But you have one and I have one. That makes for two noses.
But see, that's the question I was going to ask. Is this a collective?
That's your first gimme, okay? Next one, right?
Yeah.
Moon. What about the word moon? Is it a noun?
Yes.
How do you know?
Because there's more than one.
Jupiter has 12. Okay, so you got the hang of it. Now we got 2 out of 10. All you need is the other 8, and you'll be in like Flint, okay?
You practiced this, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, 1,000 times
right.
at least.
Yeah,
here we go. Ready? Right. I even use the same.
And
example.
I've never done this, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay?
All right,
this
ahead.
Is 6 weeks worth of school done in less than 3 minutes. Here
right,
we go.
Okay.
So, what about a dog?
Yes.
Okay. What about elephant?
Yes.
What about every? Two everys. I bought 2 everys at Sears.
You bought 2 what?
Everys. They were on sale, man. Everything's on sale at Sears. I bought 2 everys. Possible?
Sure.
Have you ever seen 2 everys? Well, you got 2 in your pocket right now?
Sean,
what color of every do you have?
Sean is holding up 2 everys right now in front of me.
2 everys?
Yeah. I don't know. What the hell you... every. No. Okay. No. The answer's no.
All right. What about because? 2 becauses. Have you ever seen 2 becauses?
Yes.
You have? They were on sale at Sears?
Dude, I am so flunking this. It's ridiculous.
I'm just asking a question.
I've seen 6. There's because of the wonderful things he does.
Okay, but now you're no longer using the word as a describer, as a place taker.
Because
using it as the noun of as the name of the word.
Right.
And in that case, Sean's right.
Right, because is not a noun. Every's
That's
not a
why
noun.
I'm asking the question. How do you know? If you know, well, then you can use it as a word. All right?
Continue.
Now, let me ask Sean
really
a question.
I'm really depressed right now.
Let me ask Sean a question.
Sean, you're up.
What? Sean, you ready to go to college? I'm going to ask you one question. You're going straight to college. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Great. If the word because can be used as a noun because it names the word because, how many words in the English language can be used as nouns?
The aforementioned every word.
Every, that's right, that's right. Every word in the English language can be used as a noun.
How easy was that? I was trying to tip him off.
Yeah.
But
so, not bad, right? So you went straight through junior high school, boom, straight to college, and you did that in less than 6 minutes. That's not bad, is it?
I flunked, dude.
No, you didn't.
I did not.
I had to prompt you a little bit.
Dude, you were an easy teacher, weren't you? You were an easy teacher.
Let me tell you something. I'm an extremely difficult teacher.
Yeah, no, I know you.
Yeah, I'm hard-nosed. In fact, here goes my information, all right?
All right.
I'm going to test you on being an intermediator.
You're going to test me as
yep.
being an I'm not
yep.
an intermediator.
Well, but you've been taking the lessons, so you should have this down pat.
You're the intermediator.
Let me give you the data, okay? Here you go. Ready?
Right.
If you want to take notes, knock yourself out.
All right.
So these are the test materials. All right, this is like going back to school night, and these are the answers for the 6 weeks test. Ready?
Yes.
So these are the intermediation objectives. Now, if intermediation is a professional skill, right, it's a skill set that the learner takes into himself and integrates into his daily life. You can hear that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't give it to you, but rather we construct the skills that you need to mediate your own life. Now, have I told you what to do?
Yes.
I have?
Of course you have.
Or have I asked you what you needed to do, and then we derived methods for you to reach those goals?
Well, that's a nicer way to say it. No, you've given me very specific things to do.
Really? And where did I come up with those?
Through your experience, perhaps?
Nope. I don't use those with other people. I just use them with you.
Really?
All the materials that I've made the last 6 weeks all came from our discussions.
Really?
Yep. Every one of these are all brand new.
Wait a second. You're telling me the mood tracker is brand new?
No, the mood track I had from another person, but that's the only one that I brought with me.
So the concept of the 5 things on a list, that was new?
Everything on this is all brand new. I don't use these things.
Well, you do
They're
now,
all things
apparently.
That you needed.
Yeah, I did, dude.
Boy, did I. Now, what is the process of intermediation? The curriculum is quite natural and straightforward and follows a given series of steps. Let me give you those six steps. You ready?
Yes.
All right, number one, we go through introductions, and we kind of set the tone and the mood, and that's what we did together. We talked for actually a couple weeks even before we did this, right?
Correct.
Great. Number two, I ask you some questions to find out what your issues are and what's going on and what's bugging you.
Yep.
Number three, we create an awareness of the total context of intermediation. And I went through like the mood tracker and responsibility versus liability and responding versus reacting and the daily effectiveness charts and the secret weapon and the CRS and the calendar and the emotional terrorist and cutting the clutter and the four parts of relationships and effectiveness training and emotional intimate conversation and the daily tracker, right?
Yes.
Great. And then we work through each area of concern until they're mastered. Now, that's the part that we're working on. We haven't quite gotten to that part, but we're getting closer all the time, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
All right, you're scaring me taking too long. All right, number five. Being released and letting go is the fifth stage of the intermediation process. That is, then I would no longer be on the radio, and you'd call me once in a while, and you'd say, here's where I am, or here's what I've been up to, or how are you, and we'd check in with each other. And then lastly, I'd follow up with you because you'd be like off doing your thing and you'd be too busy to call me all the time. And
right.
That's the way you kids today, you just go ahead and move out and then you don't ever call your parents or ride or anything, you know. So then I'd have to check up on you and chase you down.
That's not my style, but I understand what you're saying.
I understand that. But those are the six steps. That's usually how it works, okay? Now, each step or phase of the work requires something different for each person. For sure, there are basic vocabulary words or concepts that must be introduced, but even those are dependent on the individual. Like, almost every one of these things are things I invented in our conversations. I'd talk to you during the week, and I'd come up with something to meet that need, and that's how it happened.
All right, now let me just pause here for a second, you guys.
Sure.
You have to know that I had no idea that this was this kind of personalized approach. I just thought,
oh, yeah.
I thought this was in your repertoire, Chris. I really did.
No, I have the sheets. I've made about 15 sheets for you, but I have hundreds of them that I've made with other people.
Wow.
Sometimes I can use the same one over and over. Like the mood tracker I use with almost everybody because it gets down to finding out what your pendulum swing is on a daily basis. Most people would say, oh, yeah, I know that. But when they really track it, it's like, dude, I was depressed like 3 months out of last year. How did that happen?
Right. And I have to say that because I knew what I thought was a review coming, that I purposely, because I had not done it thus far, as far as physically printing out the mood tracker, I did it tonight before I came into the studio.
I love that.
So and that's all about the accountability. And we're going to take our break now. And,
all right.
That's a good time, right?
Yeah.
And we'll be back with more of Chris Harrington's Reality right here. I'm a good news on Glenn Klein Online.
I never seen you looking so bad, my 41. You tell me that your super fine mind has come undone. Any major dude with half a heart surely will tell you, my friend. Any minor world that breaks apart falls together again. When the demon is at your door, in the morning it won't be there no more. Any major dude will tell you. Any major dude will tell you.
The good news on Glenn Klein Online is brought to you in part by the guruofgratitude.com. Get paid. Being nice.
Have you ever seen a squawk's tears? Well, look at mine. Street have all seen better times. Any major dude with half a heart surely will tell you, my friend. Any minor world that breaks apart falls together again. When the demon is at your door, in the morning it won't be there no more. Any major dude will tell you. Any major dude will tell you.
thegurusofgratitude.com. Call toll free for more information, 888-493-7482. 888-493-7482.
I tell you all I know, the where to go, the what to do. You can try to run, but you can't hide from what's inside of you.
It's thegurusofgratitude.com, ladies and gentlemen. Get paid being nice. The number again is 888-493-7482.
Any major dude with half a heart sure will tell you nothing. Any minor world that breaks apart falls together again. When the demon is at your door, in the morning it won't be there no more. Any major dude will tell you.
The great Steely Dan.
Awesome.
The Steely Dan concert, you back in the day when Steely Dan got popular, they did not tour at all. It was a purely in-studio band. But they started touring over the last 10 or 15 years. And I've been to a lot of concerts, Chris.
Yeah.
But the concert that I saw at Ruth Eckert Hall here in Clearwater, I think it might be the greatest concert I've ever been to. No, excuse me. They were at the now the St. Pete or the Tampa Bay Times Forum, Steely Dan in Tampa here. I think that might be the greatest concert I've ever been to, which is really saying something.
Well, I like it that the old bands are touring again and having a good shot. I'm going to go see Jackson Browne here in a couple weeks.
Really?
I'm totally stoked.
Dude, I so love Jackson Browne.
Yeah, he's just phenomenal.
He one of his popular songs was about masturbation. Did you know that?
Is that right?
Yeah.
This whatever blows your skirt up.
Well, no, this song, you guys have heard of this song before. And it goes, Rosie, you're all right, you wear my ring. When you hold me tight, Rosie, that's my thing. It's a love song to his, Joe Klein would say, Rosie Palma and her five sisters.
Self-love.
Yeah. We talked about self-talk last week.
Yeah.
And when I was writing the email newsletter earlier today, it occurred to me that we put up with a lot more in our brains than we will in certain other organs of our body, if you know what I'm saying.
It's amazing what paces that we put ourselves through. But that's a part of this process that I'm talking about, too, speaking of intermediation. Let me continue with my notes, all right, because your test is coming up pretty quick.
All right,
the mediator is a person who's neutral and natural, and he's naive. That is, I'm not playing one side or the other. I don't have a druther about what you're going to do. All I do is I listen to you, and I try to give you the feedback. You're not being hypocritical to yourself. That is, you've got certain things you'd like to accomplish in your life, and if you're putting those off, then you're being hypocritical in your own life. Okay?
All right.
You say you really want this, so let's go for it.
All right.
Secondly, about being natural, all right? What's natural for you and what's natural for me may not be the same thing. You got your own thing going on. I got my thing going on. Whatever kind of background or whatever I have, it's not going to meet your need. You have to meet your own need. So what I want to do is learn your vocabulary, learn your nomenclature. We spend time together, and then I try to communicate back to you what it is that I'm perceiving from what you're saying. And if I've got it wrong, then you have to correct me, and back and forth until finally I'm able to mirror for you what it is that you're actually saying, and then asking you if that's what you meant to say.
Okay.
So that's the intermediation process. And then finally, in terms of being naive, I don't have a sense in the world about what's right or wrong. All I know is some things are more effective than others. And what's effective for you might be totally ineffective for me.
Right. And what's right?
I'm going to have certain goals that you may not have.
Exactly. And what's right for me
and
what's wrong for me may not be in those same categories for you or anybody else. But here's the bottom line, you guys.
Yeah.
If I'm reaching out to a guy like Chris Harrington and I want to make some alterations in my effectiveness, I am saying that certain things aren't right and certain things are wrong. And certain
right, you're
things,
defining that, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm not defining
no,
that
you're
for
not,
you.
You're like, okay, you're not happy with this. You're not pleased with that. You're not effective
exactly.
in this area, according to you.
Right.
Not according to anybody else, according
I'm
to you.
I'm more like a tailor where you're trying this suit on. If it feels good to you, that must be the way it goes.
Well, what if it looks like crap?
Well, that's your issue. I mean, if you're asking my opinion, I could say, you know, I think you have a little spinach between your teeth, or maybe your shoes are on the wrong feet. I mean, if you're asking my opinion about it, I'll tell you that. But as far as my making a moral judgment about that, forget it.
All right.
That's not what that's way above my pay grade.
All right? Yep.
Now, this is extremely personal and emotionally intimate work, don't you think?
Yeah, it has been.
All right. Because of that, I have to be non-judgmental. It's got to be totally personalized. And what we're after really is building an awareness. Now, I'm becoming also aware of you and who you are and all your stuff. So I have to really honor the fact that you've worked through all these things already. You've got these things that you're working with. And instead of my judging you, whatever, instead of my judging you, what I'm after is I really want to honor the fact that you are brave enough, courageous enough, and interested enough in your own soul for you to work through this stuff.
All right.
I really want to honor that. So that's the mindset of the person who's doing the mediation. But there are six key concepts that I think need to be kept in mind. It's not like they're rules, because I don't believe in rules. In fact, I think dogmas are the problem. They're not the solution, okay? So here are six key concepts. A, effective living leads to a more balanced living.
Okay.
All right. B, working at an average pace, some days slower than others, but looking at the range of work that needs to be done, taking 1% gains as trail markers, most people will find themselves changed within 3 months, and then you repeat as necessary in order to go to the next step. But I think if you work too far ahead of yourself, more than 1% at a time, you get overloaded. So that's why I say, like, the daily list that you make, and you said five things, my God, you know, and I said, well, one of them could be the list, and you're like, dude,
right.
I'm already 20% up,
right.
You know?
Right, all right, but you mentioned 3 months, 90 days.
Yeah.
I just started a 3-month, 90-day program with my girl Kimber.
Yeah.
Which we may talk about that aspect of this.
I love
process.
It.
All right, but what 90 days seems to be a pretty pivotal thing for making some serious. What have you found that is significant about 3 months or 90 days?
Well, what happens at the quarter, right? The reason that people look at quarters is that it takes a while to establish a habit, and it takes a little while to break a habit.
Right.
Some people say 2 weeks. I don't think that that's
really
true.
Heard 21 days is what I've
heard.
Yeah,
I've heard 21 days too. But the thing about 90 days, actually, maybe more like 100 days, but I use 100 days because it's easier for percentages. But 90 days, the 3-month period, which is exactly 90 days anyway, because you've got some days that are some months that are longer or shorter. But on average, let's say that it's 90 days for 3 months. I think what happens is you tend to reestablish patterns if you stay within that parameter. All right, so you can change your habits after a 3-month period of going through it. The problem is that people do really austere things that are really bizarre. Instead of making incremental changes that are very small, they try to, like, lose 10 pounds in a weekend.
Right.
And what you get is people sticking their fingers down their throat.
Right.
And you don't really get health. What you get is, you know, strangeness. So I'm after something that's, in fact, part C here is, this is not a diet, but rather a lifestyle change or a reinvention of ourselves. I mean, the word reinvent is really a big word for me. I always thought that Madonna, for example, would reinvent herself, and she'd come out as somebody brand new every little once in a while. David Bowie did that, and I've always been captured by that concept, how people would, you know, if you go down an alleyway, you just get a new haircut, you know, get a new style, get something else going, make a change in your life. In fact, changing your mind is a way to change all that.
Right.
All right. But I think eventually what we're after is changing our emotional landscape. And I'm really after. So part D, you are worthy of this work because you exist.
Which totally ties into the gospel and
yeah, exactly.
understanding of grace. And
exactly. That, you don't need any There's no special interest here. You're the object of interest in terms of being unconditionally loved.
Right.
Equal
with everybody else, by the way, you guys.
Exactly.
Right.
Part E is a really important part of this process. All of your previous issues and traumas are now useful tools because they're what got you to this process. Otherwise,
right.
you might have stumbled along in the dark and done something completely different and never come to the point of realization that you needed to get something done.
Right.
So I'm glad that I had certain troubles. I'm glad that I had this and that difficulty. I'm
yes.
glad that, you know, for example, that my education was not suitable to me and that I had to reinvent what I thought an education could be. It turned me into a much better teacher, I think. If I had tried to just go with what I saw, I would have been terrible because that didn't work for me.
Right.
Not at all. And then lastly, the destination is right where you are. You know, it's not some other place. It's being effective in the shoes that you're wearing, in the pants that you're wearing, in the shirt that you're wearing, in the life that you're living. It's being effective where you are.
All right.
And then as you're effective, if those things need to transform, it'll be a natural process of getting rid of one thing and gaining something else. It's always a trade-off and a constant substitution.
Okay.
That way you're never, you know, it's okay to be naked, but sure you're on a beach that allows it.
That's
all right, so
European style tanning, in other words.
Yeah. If there are no rules about how to do this, but there are three things to keep in mind. So I don't have any kind of fast rules about this, and I think different people apply this in different ways. Just like I apply martial arts on the racquetball court, most people would say that's crazy. Those don't have anything to do with each other. But tell that to the people that I beat up on every week.
Are you like doing hi-ya and stuff on the racquetball? Like hi-ya, you know?
I'm the loudest racquetball player you've ever heard. Period.
You're like Maria Sharapova on a racquetball court?
Oh, yeah. She only grunts. Forget that. Let me tell you something. I go full court press. I'm like screaming my brains out.
Oh, my God.
They can hear me in the next building.
I would not apply rules,
but things to keep in mind about this press.
All right?
This is the last bit of information you got. Everyone is equally worthy. Now, we got over that, but I just want to make sure we're really
You can't reiterate that one enough.
This is on the final exam here, okay? Number two, your path is your path. It's not for other people. Now, you know, I think this is the person who was the best at this was Basho. You know, he wrote these little poems, and the guy had a perfect breath of being able to say 17 syllables all at one time, and everybody's trying to do what Basho could do. But it was this natural breath form. That's what he did. So, of course, he was capable of writing these little haiku poem with 17 syllables because that's how he talked. That was his breath form.
Okay.
It was natural for him. All right, number three. As soon as you formulate a rule, you need to intermediate all over again because you got lost in that dogma. All right?
Right.
So you find yourself saying, this is the way you have to do it. You know you've gone the wrong direction. Does that make sense?
Very much so.
All right. So I'm ready for the questions. Are you ready?
Yes. And 16 minutes before the hour.
Oh, we've got perfect timing. No problem. All right. Here we go. Ready?
Yeah, go.
Do you think that the point of effectiveness training is to perfect your behavior, thinking, and feelings?
No.
Was that a yes or a no?
That was a no.
That was a no. Okay. Well, then what is it? What is the point of effectiveness training?
The point of effectiveness training is to find a place of balance and where you, in your own personal life, within your own understanding of quote-unquote rights and wrongs, are satisfied.
And see how good you are? You're awesome, all right?
Is this the test? Was the thing before a test too?
Is what?
Was the thing before that I absolutely flunked on? I mean, I flagged.
Yeah, you didn't flunk on it. Let me ask you a question.
Dude,
okay?
I flagged that so bad it was ridiculous.
No. Okay, if you can have two of them, it's a noun, right? A swimming pool.
Yes.
You can have two swimming pools.
Look at how giving he is. You would have wanted to have Chris Harrington as your teacher in Nacogdoches, Texas.
I'm telling you, you walk out the door going, I am a god. I know this
I
stuff
am
so
a
good.
Frickin' Einstein is what I am.
That's right. I am an Einstein. That's right.
All right. I get it. Go ahead. Right, continue.
Okay,
right,
great. Yeah. Telephones. I got two of them. All right, here
yeah,
we go.
Yeah.
All right. Question number two.
Yeah.
If living more effectively increases your chances of success, then you should now be close to your goals. What are your effectiveness goals?
How many do you want?
Give me two. At least two, because that's goals mates. At least two, right?
Well, that's right. That would be a noun, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
Ooh.
See how good you are?
I just started speaking in tongues.
I love that.
That's what we Pentecostals do when we're excited. Effectiveness, two goals. Number one is to be financially self-sufficient.
Yeah.
That's number one. And number two is to be financially self-sufficient.
I love that. Goal number two, visit goal number one. They say, now that is what I call focus. That's awesome, all right?
Nice.
Now, are your goals the same as my goals?
No.
Then why should I care what your goals are?
Because you love me. Dude, I can get this guy to crack up. You know what?
So
you hear all this. You all hear this. You know, highfalutin Chris Harrington reality stuff. This guy's got a great sense of humor, and that's the key. Chris, there's something about having a sense of humor that's important in this whole process.
It's important.
Yep, I think so.
God has a sense of humor.
It's very sexy. God invented farting. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, God made us. You know he has a sense of humor.
Exactly.
All right, now, why should I care about your goals? Because I love you, right? Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So why would that matter to me?
Because you realize, as I do, as many of the beautiful humans that are listening across the globe, that we literally are one. And so to love me is to love yourself.
Ooh, you are just too... Are you just telling me everything I want to hear?
Dude... Seduction. Listen, I might not be able to make a living right now, but seduction, I'm down.
All right. Bachelor number three. Oh, no. It's some wrong show. All right. So are your goals the highest possible goals in the universe?
Yes.
Okay. So being financially secure is like the highest goal in the universe?
Well, there's such a thing as a tie for first.
There's a little town close to me called St. Augustine, and they have this word, all right? It was the onlyest one.
Right.
Yeah, most onlyest.
Yes, the answer is yes, because if everybody was being effective in their number one goal,
yeah,
as we are one, that would make a pretty good little planet. I'm just...
are too good. I love that. All right. Let me ask you this. Are my goals the highest possible goals in the universe?
I got to be consistent and say yes.
Oh, okay. But our goals aren't the same.
Well, they really are. Oh,
you're playing some mind games on me now. How are your goals the same as my goals?
Because if we both want to have our number one goal or number two, you gave me two goals.
Yeah.
To increase our personal effectiveness, space where we're at in our journey, not in our destination. The journey is the destination, of course.
Right.
Then, of course, it's the best we could do. And when you realize, it's like this. I've been working on a lot of stuff in the last 6 weeks, or I've been working on a lot of stuff in the last 53 years.
Yeah.
I'm just typing. And if you equate all those unique things, I am one person, as I believe that you and Sean and everybody that is listening to the show and around the planet, everywhere, folks, are one. I am one person. I've been working on my physicality. I've been working on my relationships. I've been working on my finances. I've been working on my diet. And so, yes, whatever specific goals that you have are just an extension of my goals, really.
Okay. Well, when we engage with others, we often seek to help them adopt our goals, don't you think?
That is absolutely true and really ill-advised.
but you just said that you have the highest goals in the universe, and so do I.
Yeah, but I don't have to, because my goals are the highest tied for first. I don't have to impose that on you or Sean or, you know, I have, over these, ironically, about 6 weeks, a little less than that, during this course of time that you and I have been working, I have had the huge blessing and privilege of partnering with a beautiful woman named Kimber Rogers Brownlee, as you know, and if you've spoken to. And Kimber is really a unique girl. I mean, she is, she's pretty badass. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
And I had to say to her at some point, "What's up? Why me?" I mean, she's I've been divorced for 9 years. She's been divorced for 7 years. We both have had, you know, a variety of relationships. But, I mean, this is pretty cool what's happening. And I asked the question, not in a test form like yourself, Professor Harrington.
Yeah.
But I had to ask her, what's up? Why me? Because, I'm okay. I'm pretty good, I got to say. But, I mean, this is a different level of intensity that I've experienced in my life. And here was Kimber's response. She said, "You let me be me."
All right.
Or in another way to say would be, "You allow me to have my goals and respect those goals and don't try to impose your own greatest goals in the universe on me." I took that as a huge compliment, dude, especially in the process that you and I are involved in right now.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, last question. You ready?
That's all? You got nothing else to say to that?
No. You know, when you're at the end of the piece of cake, you take a bite and you lick your lips and you say thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Last one.
If my goals are better for you than yours are for you, would you be willing to drop your goals?
Well, I hear my intermediator asking a question that doesn't sound like it actually came from him. I hear a value judgment with that word better. And so I have to say no. The answer is no.
All right, then let me change the question.
Okay.
What if my goals are more effective for you than your goals are for you?
Your goals for yourself are more effective than my goals for myself?
What if the goals that I have for you are better than the goal, are more effective than the goals that you've chosen for yourself?
Yeah, the answer is absolutely yes in that case.
Yeah. So then what happens is that when we go around, when we go
around. What just happened there?
I moved something and something fell over. It's of no consequence whatsoever.
Well, it sounded fairly consequential.
I don't want to know right now because I'm in Glenda's closet. I'll deal with her in a while.
Dude, you're laying down on the phone in your wife's closet.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, I'm a closet case. All right, here we go.
That's awesome.
So, what I'm really after here is, okay, we're asking other people to listen to us, right?
What we all are, but you and I specifically are as life coaches slash
individuals. Right, but I think all of us are.
No doubt. We certainly want people to listen to us. That's for sure.
So isn't it only fair? Isn't it only honest? Right, of us to then be open to what other people have to say. If they have a better idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
And their idea works better for us. Can't we just ditch our ideas and go with their ideas?
Can we or should we?
Yeah, shouldn't we?
Yeah, of course we should. It's of course, under the category of way easier said than done.
Right. Oh, yeah. Granted, it's easy to intellectualize anything and really hard to put it into practice. I'm way with you on that, okay? I'm just asking the musical question. Under what conditions could we best then get information from other people that we might adopt as a better or more effective way of doing things?
Well, I have to say in my little personal slice of life, the condition would be desperation.
Ooh. I mean, you got to be desperate before you're willing to listen to somebody?
Well, adopt their more effective position than yours, or what you think is effective, or your strategy.
I mean, you can't just, like, rationalize that and go, dude, that's a way better way to get across town than my having to go through the tunnel.
Well, I think it's life and experience. I mean, for God's sakes, I mean, I'm going to be 53 in December.
Yeah.
You know, I've been talking to my kids. Well, my oldest is 26.
Yeah.
Going to be 27. So I've been talking to my kids for almost 27 years.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you guys, it's a lot easier to make an adjustment at 13, 16, 20, 23, 26
sure.
than it is at 53. So, of course, it is easier said than done.
Yeah.
And especially challenging when so many of the things that we've talked about over the last 6 weeks, like wrong questions that are being asked, self-talk that is being re-looped in your brain over and over again that is not effective. I mean, I cannot tell you what these 6 weeks have done for my thinking. I mean, it's just, it blows me away, bro. And
awesome.
Just to know, so you know how effective you're being.
Okay.
This has had a dramatic effect on me. A dramatic, I mean, way more than I thought. And if I would not have learned to ask different questions or not ask the wrong questions is a better way to say it, at least mm-hmm. for me, for where I'm at right now, I'd be pretty funked out right now, I got to mm-hmm. tell you, because the bottom line hasn't moved very far. However, since we're talking about effectiveness in finances and effectiveness professionally, I got to tell you that the money being spent is a lot less than what it was. The money
okay.
being brought in isn't a lot more right now
yeah.
yet. But there are so many other positive. Bro, in the last 6 weeks, I probably dropped 15 pounds of fat.
Wow.
15 pounds in the last 6 weeks. That's pretty good.
That's awesome.
I mean, Kimber was telling me that, you know, she thought I was kind of hot tonight. I'm just saying. I am sticking to a morning job, which amounts, even though I enjoy it, and I won't get into the specifics of it, it is menial.
Sure.
It is beneath my pay grade, since you always talk about above your pay. This is beneath
sure.
my pay grade. I'm being paid $8 an hour, but I'm doing it every day. I'm making my list, and mm-hmm. the woman that I love has embraced the list-making process.
Awesome.
And has taken it to a whole new level, by the way.
Okay.
So here's a person who not only is not fighting what I'm trying to do, but embracing it.
Wow.
And supporting it. This is a new. This is a relative new experience for me, I got to say.
Okay.
So there you go. That's how effective you are being intermediate.
So how do you think you did on your test?
I think I got 100% on that portion.
Gee. That's amazing. If you go over the answers and you keep with the schedule and you keep it in mind, when you get there, you're able to apply it. Is that right?
That's what it seems like.
Yeah. That sounds pretty effective.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it?
All right.
Do I pass?
I love that. Oh, yeah. Well, you could have people call in and ask if you passed. What about that? Why don't you put that in the hopper and say, hey, if anybody wants a comment on whether or not you think I passed the test or not, why don't you drop us a line or drop us a note or touch base on Facebook or call in or email.
All right. Well, I will give you the update privately.
I love that.
If Kimber thinks that I passed the test.
I could use some feedback.
All right. No, it's coming, buddy. Well, we've been getting feedback. You know we have. And it's all,
yeah.
It's so far, so good.
Well, I'm sure everybody's watching the presidential debate tonight.
I have been watching it out of the corner of my eye. I must admit.
You are so bad.
Dude,
I'm in the closet.
But you're in the closet. I'm in the studio. I can't be in a closet. But, yeah, they look like they're not so happy with each other.
Oh, I'm so shocked.
It is an incredible revelation. I got to tell you that when we decide that this process has run its course.
Yeah.
You're still coming back on the radio. We're just going to be talking about we broach subjects every week that we just like give a little bit of a wave of a hand to, and I mean we could do an entire show about it.
Sure.
Like about free will, for example.
Free Will, that's a really good one. Actually, I have hundreds of topics to talk about.
Why am I not surprised? All right, buddy. Thank you so much.
Love you, man.
Love you, too.
All right.
There goes Chris Harrington, Chris Harrington's Reality. Check him out on Facebook, Chris Harrington, H-E-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N. He's a friend of mine. He's a friend of yours. All his information, everything's available there at Chris Harrington on Facebook. Sean, feel better, buddy. And thank you so much for everything you do. Thank you guys for listening. Let us hear from you on Facebook, or you can email me at radio@glennklineonline.com. Did I pass? That is what I want to know. What do you think, Sean? Thumbs up?
Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up! Buddy, thank you for just forging forward, even though you weren't feeling well. And okay, you guys, we're going to do this in 1 week's time, Lord willing, and if the creek don't rise. Until that time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!